All right, we've been dealing with the theme of being grounded. We began by talking about our spiritual identity, asking ourselves if we're a rooted plant or a tumbleweed. Next, we considered being grounded for burden bearing. Now, in this last session, I want us to think about being grounded by wisdom. Because that is what we get, isn't it, as we go to the Word of God, as we lean upon the Word of God, as we draw in from the Word of God, the wisdom that is absolutely necessary if we are going to be effective believers, if we are going to faithfully and effectively be able to serve Jesus Christ. Now, you know, probably every one of you here could stand up and pop off with Psalm 111, verse 10, which tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We know that in memory, don't we? But looking around at the Christian world today, can you see much fear of God? Then look beyond the Christian world, and you will not see any fear of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 36:1, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before their eyes." On every side, we see that proclaimed, don't we? The so-called stars out there, the ones who live in the spotlight, incredible what they say, what they do, what they wear or don't wear. Fear of God? What about the leaders, the political leaders? To a great extent, again, do you see any indication that they fear God, that they even believe anymore? But no fear at all, is there? So many shaking their fists in the face of God, defying Him in every possible way. What do you see printed on sweatshirts? As you go through the airport, I am appalled. Fear of God? Psalm 5:7 turns us away from that awfulness that we see around us, that lack of fear of God. And it says, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." Our worship, our whole life is to be marked by the fear of God. And that is where our wisdom starts. If I fail to fear God, I'm not going to have a drop of wisdom. I'm going to be operating on this empty skull. Now that's scary. I can't operate as a Christian woman that way. I must have God's wisdom. So I have to start with the fear of God. My roots, my fruits, should constantly give evidence that it is the fear of God that is the wellspring bringing forth the evidences of wisdom. That fear, that basic fear of God, operates in my salvation, operates in your salvation, doesn't it? What was that moment when you came to realize with fear the reality that you were facing judgment by the eternally living, altogether holy God? I can remember it as if it were yesterday and I was 9 years old. I suddenly realized the horror of what I was, the reality of my personal sin. I'd grown up in a Christian family. All my family was saved but me. I'd heard the gospel over and over and over. But it took a day sitting down on my knees beside a pen of baby chicks to make me realize that I was a horrible sinner. We always had baby chicks. My father loved chickens. I don't know what was wrong that day, but I went outside. I was in a very, very nasty mood, and I went outside and I sat down beside a pen of baby chicks. Darling, darling, fluffy, yellow baby chicks. And I was upset. I was mad. And I reached into that pen, and I grabbed a baby chick, and I did what I had seen my father do all my growing up time. I took it by its legs, and I whacked its head against a pole. And as I sat with that little yellow, fluffy baby chick growing cold in my hands, I knew I was a sinner. And I had to meet an altogether holy God. Fear has a part in our salvation, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Fear of God certainly operates in our obedience. We know we're accountable to that holy God, don't we? And when I am going into disobedience, there's always a, oops, wait a minute, I'm going to be accountable. Every word, every action, I am going to be accountable. That fear is extremely valuable, helping me to walk wisely, helping you to walk wisely. Now, we know from God's word that we have access to godly wisdom. And yes, we're not going back to the Old Testament, okay? We're going this time we will go to James. But also, ladies, if you were taking notes, you know, the outline is not important. What I say isn't worth a hill of beans. But if you would please take the references, and I'm going to be giving you a lot of references, if you would take those and then please go on your own and soak in God's word. That's our source, and that's our resource. But you know that promise in James 1:5, if any of you lack what? Wisdom. Let him ask of whom? God. And how does God give? All men, liberally. He withholds nothing. He's eager to give us our wisdom. And he doesn't fuss. I'm so glad he doesn't fuss, because I'm forever coming back and saying, Lord, please help. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. For the millionth time, and he doesn't fuss at me. Why didn't you get it 35 years ago? And I should have. I should have. But he upbraideth not. It shall be given. It shall be given him. This is spoken by our never breaking a promise God. So we have access. But how do we get it? Knowing that we have access. We've got to start with knowing that we need wisdom. But you know what? I never cease being shocked at how quickly I can forget that I need God's wisdom moment by moment. I am in my decrepitude. We have 6 grandchildren, and my natural tendency continues to be just stepping out in my own smarts. Right?
No.
So I mess up. Time after time after, I have to know that I need wisdom. That's my first step if I'm going to access the wisdom. But it doesn't stop there. I have to seek wisdom. I have to go to his word and seek there the wisdom that he promises to give me. I've got to have those working roots, remember? Pulling in the nutrients that I have to have. But then do I consistently use, even when God gives it? Do I use it? Godly wisdom is very, very unlike earthly wisdom. Now, we know that. We know that it's right there in James 3, verse 17. But I want us to take that verse and I want us to sink into it, okay, and see what is really there. Be reminded of what's really there. It is a special, special wisdom. James 3:17, the wisdom that is from above, that's God's wisdom, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Okay, now, ladies, as you look there at that verse, those verses, look. There are some things that godly wisdom is, and then by contrast, there are some things that godly wisdom is not. Okay, very quickly, what is godly wisdom? It is pure wisdom. Pure. Because it comes from God. It is totally untainted by fleshly tendencies. Oh my goodness. Wouldn't it be wonderful to operate on that kind of wisdom all the time? It's not focused on self, not godly wisdom. Peaceable, it desires peace and it contributes to peace. Oh my goodness, how many times does my walk with the Lord demonstrate that I am not using godly wisdom? I'm doing anything but working for peace. My fangs are hanging out 6 inches long. It's gentle. Now, that's not weakness. Gentleness is really strength under control. It is gentle, compassionate. It's not hasty and harsh. It is thoughtful, patient in dealing with those around us. That's how godly wisdom would make me operate. Oh, that I had it all the time. It's easy to be entreated. What does that mean? It's open to reason. It's reasonable. The kind of wisdom that stands here and says, look, it's my way or no way. If you don't agree with me, then go jump in a creek. That is not wisdom from above. That doesn't show a drop of heavenly wisdom. It's full of mercy, accommodating other people, going the extra mile, ready to forgive, not judgmental. Oh. Did you listen to those words? You sort of squeeze your gizzard, don't they? If yours isn't squeezed, I'm getting it all. It is full of good fruits. Now again, probably every one of you could stand up and give me the list, quote the list of the fruits of the Spirit, couldn't you? But do we practice the fruits? They come in a life where the wisdom of God is operative. Okay, what are the things that godly wisdom lacks? It is not partial. It treats everybody the same, and it treats every situation the same. Oh, my goodness. It's without partiality. And finally, it's without hypocrisy. Obviously, it's genuine, sincere. There is no two-faced quality to heavenly wisdom. There is no pretension. There's no empty talk. The talk that sounds so good and the heart that is so, so rotten. But what's the antithesis of godly wisdom? James 3, 14 and 16. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Boy, what a difference, isn't there, between heavenly wisdom And the wisdom that I can crank out on my own, bitter envy, strife. Now, wait a minute. Did you see where the bitter envy and strife is? Look at it. In your hearts. Oh, honey, you may be Mrs. Christian on the outside, but what about your heart? Is there envy and strife? If there is, we're lying against the truth. And yet, ladies, isn't there, especially because these things are basically emotional, don't we have a lot of these uglies in our Christian circles? Envy, jealousy, dissatisfaction with what I have or where I am or what I've got, and irritated to the core with people who have them. Strife, disagreement, competition, ambition. Ugly words, really, when we put a right title on it, huh? Now, what do those things produce? Here, the verse tells us. Confusion and evil work. Disorder. Look around you. Within our circles. An ugly fallout. Because we are not walking in godly wisdom. Instead, we're advancing the work of the devil. He loves it. You know, sometimes because we are so constantly in touch with what's going on in the Christian world, I get almost to the point of vomiting to think of how happy we must be making the devil because of the condition of God's people. The fussing, the fuming, the splits, and then the split splits, and then the split, 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 splits. And we just go on and on and on. We shoot our wounded. Incredible. Is this the wisdom that comes down from God? Now go back and look at verse 15 right there between those verses that we just looked at. We just read verses 14 and 16. Now look at verse 15. Whoops. This wisdom descendeth not from above. How's that for straight talk? But is earthly, sensual, devilish. It's dictated by human smarts. It smells of dust and corruption. It is sensual, unspiritual, dictated by the flesh. It's devilish, demonic. Absolutely delighting our enemy. Well, finally, and very quickly, what are the actions of godly wisdom? Again in James, this time in the third chapter, verse 13. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, and honey, that's not talk. Conversation there means manner of life, what you live. Let him show out of the way he lives his works with what? Meekness of wisdom. Isn't that a sweet phrase? Meekness of wisdom. Heavenly wisdom is meek. My actions, if I'm operating with heavenly wisdom, are going to be constructive, not destructive, and not wasteful. In myself, I can apply Proverbs 9:11. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Hey, lady, that's a strong building that's pictured there. Now, am I building that way with godly wisdom in my own personal being? Am I building that way in my relationships? How about constructive in my home? Proverbs 14:1, let every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish, what does she do? Plucketh it down with her hands. Now, my foolishness at my house comes naturally. And I do a lot of plucking. Well, you know, there are always little Would you be honest with me and not make me feel like you've got it all together? Proverbs 24:3-4, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it's established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Oh my. It's constructive in time. Ephesians 5:15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. Wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Godly wisdom will teach me how to make my time count for Him. Godly wisdom will yank me away from sitting in front of a TV or a computer screen or many, many other time-wasting things out there, because godly wisdom will remind me my times are in His hand and I am going to give account. And second, the actions of godly wisdom demonstrate constraint. Constraint. Now, that's a word that the world at large cannot even spell anymore. There is no constraint, is there? If I feel good, I do it. If I want to say it, I do it. Huh? Godly wisdom constrains me at every point. Psalm 119, verse 112, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I'm going to be constrained in my ears, what I hear and what I heed. Proverbs 12, the second part of verse 15, he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Hey, young people. You want to be wise? Listen to good counsel. Proverbs 17, the first part of verse 10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. The way I respond to somebody's reproof is going to demonstrate either fleshly wisdom, it'll make me mad as a hornet, or godly wisdom that learns from the reproof. And then I'm going to be restrained in my mouth. I hate Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. Oh! And of course, then there's that wonderful, awful, dreadful woman, the Proverbs 31. Who, we are reminded in verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Bless her gizzard. Exhausting, isn't it? Okay, ladies. If I'm a rooted plant and not a tumbleweed, God's word will ground me for burden bearing. And it will supply me with His wisdom moment by moment. But you know what? Even if for 5 minutes I operate the way I should I then say, look, I did it, look. Or should I say, look at my children, didn't I do a wonderful job of raising them? Or look what I accomplished for the Lord. Or look at anything. No. If I am operating with godly wisdom, There will only be one direction I'm pointing. It is to Him. I will want to glorify that precious, precious Heavenly Father, that marvelous, marvelous Savior who bought me with His shed blood. And only by using God's wisdom can I ever, ever, even in the tiniest way, bring glory to Him to whom I owe absolutely everything.